Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 590. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, please email me at rabbiyismach@take10fortorah.org. There's a very fascinating idea that comes out of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev, specifically the story of Yehuda and Tamar, and I want to talk about that a little bit in the 10 minutes we have. So, the first idea I want to begin with is the Gemara of Metzia. The Gemara of Metzia makes the statement, Gadol onoas devarim mi onoas mamon. Onoas devarim, torturing somebody, making somebody feel bad through words is worse than making somebody or persecuting somebody through financial means. And so abusing somebody financially is not as bad as abusing somebody verbally. Why is that? So the Gemara brings the pasuk to make the point. Rabbi Elazar explains, Zebegufo Zebemamano, assuming that because one afflicts your body itself, meaning the words afflict your body, that's worse than the fact that it affects my bank account. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani is finally even more clear, and he says, Zenitin lihishavon vezalonitin lihishavon. One can be given back and one can't. You can always return money, but you can't return dignity. You can't return bad feelings. Okay, so here's the first idea and the first indication that we have that there's something particularly bad, and sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, is an absolute and total fallacy. It's just not true. It's not just words, but it's any type of abuse when it comes to a person's physical body and person's physical, you know, so to speak, mentality. The Mishnah in Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Aleph, says that there's a list of things that you even though you have Torah, even though you have good deeds, you do not get a portion in the next world. On that list are a couple of things. One who's mefer briso shel Avraham, one who goes and undoes their covenantal bris mila, however you would do that. But on that list is as well, hamalbim pnecha v'erabarabim, somebody who embarrasses their friend publicly. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia further says, "Kol yordan leGehenim chutz mishlosha." The Gemara says everybody goes down to Gehenim, and then it later clarifies that's not so good. Everybody goes down to Gehenim after their life, but they come back up. They get a little bit of cleansing, and they come back up, except for three people who go down and never come up. And on that list is Haba Alishas, this one who involves themselves in adultery, Hamalbim pnei chaver barabim, one who embarrasses their friend publicly, and another category of Hamakana Shemra Lechavero, one who goes and creates a nickname for their friend. The Gemara wonders, isn't that the same thing as Malbin? And the Gemara answers, yeah, it kind of is, but it gives a reason why it's on the list. But in any event, we have two things really, Habal Eshes Ish, one who is involved in adultery, which we know to be particularly egregious, and somebody who embarrasses somebody. Those are people who do not ever come back up from Gehenna. In the Gemara of Bava Metzia, a few lines later, it says, as a matter of fact, of those two things, Noach lo la'adam sheyavo al safek eishas ish v'al yabam pnei chavir abarabim. It's better that somebody get involved in what might be perhaps an eishas ish, a married woman, and not get involved with embarrassing somebody publicly. How do we know that? So there's a story with David HaMelech. David HaMelech got a lot of criticism for his behavior with Bathsheba, and he says, recounting one conversation, David reported that people would constantly mock him and denigrate him for it, and they would say, they would say, hey David, they would have skepticism to his behavior in that story, and they would say, what's the punishment for somebody who gets involved with a married woman? And I would say to them, he gets the death penalty, but he has a portion in the next world. He gets the death penalty so as to save the portion in the next world. He loses this, he gets the next. Aval hamalbenes pereach chaver abarabim, but one who goes and embarrasses his friend publicly, which David was indicating that these people were doing to him, ein lo chelek olam haba, there is no portion in the next world. So that shows you the severity, perhaps even more than haba al eshetzish, and it shows you it's in a category which is really surprising. And where does this all come from? It comes from this week's parsha. It refers to Tamar and Yehuda and their joining together, and finally she becomes pregnant. Vayikim shalosh chadashim vayugad luhuda vayomar lemar zanta tamar kalasecha. They assume that she was mizaneh, that she had a relationship with somebody else, And then they take her out to be burnt because she was supposed to be marrying somebody in the family. She was zakuk, which is the fancy expression for she was connected to them through the laws of Yibam, and then she went elsewhere. So the Gemara said, I'm sorry, the pasuk continues, himutzeis, she was taken out, v'hishalcha l'chameha le'mar, and she sends a message to her father-in-law Yehuda saying, le'ish hashar e'lo lo anochi hara, to the one who owns these things. This was the simon, this was the sign that she gave. She used those things to identify him and did not report him publicly. And then he finally says, Sadka mimeni, he realizes it was him, and he gives her the credit and she doesn't get punished. So she could have just very easily said this was Yehuda, right? It was the simplest thing in the world. The reason she doesn't, the Gemara Sota says, is Noach lo adam shiapal atzim lo tol kivshan eish. It's better for a person to throw themselves into a kivshan of eish, a fiery furnace, va'al yal ben pnei chaver b'rabim, and not embarrass a person publicly. Okay, now that's really interesting. One other class we need to focus on, yal ben pnei chaver b'rabim, just this very expression is very strange. Whiten your face of the friend. You don't whiten your friend's face when you embarrass them. You actually redden your friend's face when you embarrass them. We got to talk about that a different time. But the Gemara Bracha says the same thing. You should better throw yourself into a fiery furnace. And we learned that from Tamar. Tamar was about to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And she wouldn't, even at the expense, at the cost of not going and publicizing that Yehuda was the father of the child, and only doing it in a sort of a roundabout way, not identifying him publicly so as not to embarrass him, she would rather go into the Kivshan Eish. Now, the Gemara in Ksubos tells a story which is somewhat similar, and really the underlying question that we have over here is, are we serious? Is this something which is considered to be so bad? We usually say life is always first, you know, in regard to pretty much every single Avera, we say life goes first. If faced with the choice between life and that Avera, if you have to eat not kosher, you eat not kosher, if it's going to be your life or that. There are only three situations. There's the situation of murder, idolatry, or adultery. Those are, adultery or any other sexual crimes, those are the things that generally we say life goes second. So do we really mean this here? So this is going on in Ksuvos as well, Dav Samach Zayin Amud Beis, talks about how Mar Ukva would have a poor person in his neighborhood, and he would go and put money at the guy's door. The guy never knew where the money was coming from, and so the guy decides to wait inside and see who's the one placing money at his door. He finally hears Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva is there with his wife one day, and he goes and places the money by the door. Suddenly the poor person runs out to see who it is, you know, boo! And Mar Ukva runs away. Somehow he doesn't see him, and he's chasing him, and finally the two of them, Mar Ukva and his wife, run into an oven. There's this very large oven that they hide in, which is probably a pretty good place to hide. And he gets a little bit burnt, she doesn't get a little bit burnt. Okay, good, the Gemara talks about why she was better than him. But fine, my kulehai, the Gemara asks, why in the world did he go through all of this length to make sure that he stayed hidden so that this poor person would not know who the one who had all of this beneficence was? So he quotes the same idea, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Shem Ben Yochai, Noach Lo Adam Sheyimser, Atzmo L'Tol Kiv Shanesh, it's better to go and throw yourself into a fiery furnace. And here, literally, the person does, Mar Ukva goes and throws himself into an oven. Now, he didn't get killed, he wasn't actually giving up his life. But again, we see this not only as a theoretical concept, but this Gemara brings it into the reality. So what is this all about? Particularly because we know that there's a famous list, as I mentioned before, of three things that you give up your life for, three things that you're supposed to sacrifice yourself for before you do. And this is not on that list. So indeed, Tosfos addresses this, and Tosfos says something unbelievable. Tosfos says that really, he asks the question. He says, Tosfos in Sota Daf Yud Amud Beis. He says, why isn't this on the list? Why isn't this not on the famous list of, you know, when I have to go and have a medication that's going to save my life, it can't be made out of one of those three famous things, however that would work. One of those three famous things. Why is that not on that list? That I can't embarrass somebody to get that medication. He says, Venera Dahai Delo Chashav Lei, the fact that it's not counted, because Mishum Daveres Habanas Panim Enam Mefureshes BaTorah. It's not explicit in the Torah, meaning there is no command that says thou shalt not embarrass somebody publicly. It doesn't say that. And it only has on this list things that are explicit. But Tosfos is implying that indeed it is on the list, which is pretty wild. Rabbeinu Yonah says the same thing. He says it's toldo shvichas damim. It's like it's a subsidiary category of shvichas damim, and he gives a reason that it has to do with the boshes and the embarrassment and the blood and spilling the blood, which I want to get into a different time. But that's literally how they understand it, that it's that bad. What's interesting is we don't find this discussion, you know, let's say on Shabbos, you're allowed to break Shabbos to go save a life. Are you allowed to go break Shabbos in order to save somebody's ego, right? Would you be allowed to do it? Would you be allowed to get up and do something on Shabbos so that somebody doesn't get embarrassed publicly? We don't find such a discussion, and yet we find these Rishonim who completely apply this to embarrassment as well. So in any event, take it seriously, because it's a very serious halacha.